Illinois has become the 37th state to ratify the Federal Equal Rights Amendment. It aims to end the legal distinction between men and women, something supporters say would enhance equality when it comes to issues like equal pay. The fight for the ERA has been going on since the 1970s. Organizers in McLean County played a key role in jumpstarting the dormant movement in Illinois. GLT's Ryan Denham spoke with two of those organizers, Sally Pancrazio and Kay Moss. Pancrazio says they were on pins and needles last week waiting for last Wednesday's vote.
Wednesday night was phenomenal. I was told late Monday night that the sponsor would call the bill on Tuesday. So I was in Springfield and I sat through the whole session, and he didn't call it, and he didn't call it, and he didn't call it. And so I was at home. It was ecstatic, absolutely electric.
Well, on Wednesday night, my husband and I, Tom and I, were having dinner reservations. We had dinner reservations, and so we were over at Baxter's. And I need to apologize to everybody out on the patio at Baxter's, including our server, because the four of us, see, the debate had started, and so we're all hunkered down behind my telephone. We're streaming this, and, you know, like, nobody's even talking. And then of course, the vote came in, and we're like, yay! Everybody exploded, and I'm sure we interrupted everybody at that point.
Well, did you worry that it might fail? It was, I think it only passed by, but ultimately, the one vote it needed to
well,
get ratification.
Well, despair.
Mm-hmm. One, yes, but that was 61% of the House, so it's not like it was just a majority vote. That was over three-fifths. But yes, because the procedures allowed both the opposition and the proponents to have the same amount of time to speak, and the opponents took advantage, clearly, of their time, and we heard a lot of their comments. Mm-hmm. So I didn't think it would be called unless they had the votes, but you just never know until they press that button.
So what's next?
Well, we still have one more state. We're looking at Virginia, Florida, or Arizona, because those are three states that have already had similar votes, just like Illinois. They also have a provision like our state constitution has, which is an equal protection provision. And they also have a group of very dedicated proponents. So one of those states, and I think if I had to place any bets, it would be on Virginia, but they all have conservative leadership. Running the shows there, but the momentum is very strong right now to get that 38th state.
This week's ratification comes 36 years after the original deadline for ratification set by Congress. So does this matter? Is this a symbolic gesture only?
That's a very good question. It's one that's often asked. There are two pieces of legislation pending in Congress right now, one in the House Judiciary Committee and one in the Senate. And what the language of those two pieces of legislation are, they removes the time period. So that is made moot. And it also states that any state that originally ratified the state is considered ratified. And that makes a lot of sense because there were five states that once they ratified, they rescinded their ratification. Well, there's no language permitting that. And reasonably, we could go all for the rest of our lives rescinding something that another legislature had already passed. So the Congress Budget Office or the group that monitors those kinds of things. So once you ratify, you're ratified. But we do expect, it's not over yet, and we do expect that the opponents, and they're there, and many of them are from states that were part of the Confederacy, so we understand the history there about unequal rights for equal individuals. We expect it to go to the Supreme Court for a decision.
What would the ERA do? What are some specific examples?
It provides a higher standard of scrutiny on any law cases that have as a ground sex discrimination. And it would also place a higher standard on those cases across state lines and permit a class action suit, which is not now permitted. So there is a symbolism in that the United States is one of only six or seven countries that does not have such an equal rights provision. But it would also increase the opportunities for gender equity across salaries and wages. It would increase Title IX enforcement. Those were federal laws. And as you know, we have a an administration now that's pulling back on quite a few of those kinds of federal laws. So in addition to the benefits, custody cases for fathers, the probability and possibility for equity there for males is enhanced. Another aspect is the elimination of salary history. Women are more likely to be given a salary in whatever job they have based on their last job, and that their salary is generally lower than a man who is doing the equal work at the same time. So we expect to see under an equal rights amendment that the use of salary history would be decreased. And that would, in fact, do a lot to bring the gap between wages for men and women more closely together, more aligned than exists now. It would also, I think, show that there's absolutely no relationship to equal rights and the abortion issue. We know for sure what factors influence the incidence or the decline of abortion, and that's greater sex education, more effective contraception, and better health care. We know those three very policy-oriented areas, in fact, are related to the decline in abortion. And it has been used, as one sponsor said, as a head fake to scare the pro-lifers into being too cautious about supporting the Equal Rights Amendment.
And you heard similar remarks from State Representative Dan Brady from the House floor. Here's a snippet.
I am a pro-life representative with a strong pro-life voting record. And after this vote is done, I will continue to be a strong pro-life representative with a strong pro-life voting record.
What was it like to see a local Republican support you on this issue?
I wanted to cry. I publicly thank him because he was a no vote in the past years. And Kay and I provided us an opportunity to present him information. And he asked us a lot of questions. We focused in on the economic aspect of strengthening families.
When Nevada passed, that ratified there, it was a surprise. It came out of nowhere.
No, it was in 2017. That's recently.
Yep. Yes.
March of 2017. And according to my calendar, we went in to see Dan Brady on May 1st, just a few weeks later, and said, don't tell us. We're going to advocate for passing the ERA. And you don't have to commit now. We just want you to commit to giving constituents time to talk to you. And he agreed that he could. Obviously, that's what he's there for. So he did. And we said, you know, we're gonna do a lot of advocacy, and you tell us what it will take, because if you need a petition with 500 signatures, we'll get it. You need 5,000, we'll get that. And he listened. He listened to constituents, and because he was the first Republican it allowed other pro-life legislators the chance to read and take it seriously and open up to the idea.
It helped us enormously that Mrs. Joanne Maitland agreed to be the honorary chairperson of the coalition that we established here in town. She's a much beloved Republican woman. Her husband was a much respected Republican representative and senator who had previously voted no on the Equal Rights Amendment. And she had her own story to tell about pay inequity and training young interns in the bank in which she worked, and how once they got hired, they were hired at higher pay than she was. And so she could relate to that issue. And Dan Brady did as well in terms of the economic variation between men and women. And I have to put a shout out to Senator Jason Barrickman, who had previously voted no on the Equal Rights Amendment, but was very respectful in our coming to see him, took our package of materials, asked us questions, and changed his vote from no to yes. And that made a big difference in the Senate. Mm-hmm. In terms of Representative Brady, he was in a leadership position, and it made my heart sing to see his yes vote, but also Representative Durkin, who is the minority leader in the House. Those two voted along with eight other Republicans. So it clearly was a bipartisan issue. And on something that's important, one likes to see that a bipartisanship, because it really does speak to the majority of the constituents, particularly here in our state. Mm-hmm.
This is GLT Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham. I'm here with Sally Pancrazio and Kay Moss, two local organizers who fought, now successfully, for ratification of the Equal Rights Amendment here in Illinois. Illinois has kind of a weird history with the ERA. This week's vote puts the ERA one state away from possible enshrinement in the U.S. Constitution. But back in the 70s, Illinois played a pivotal role in the ERA's defeat. Can one of you briefly recap our history with this?
At that time, I was in my early 30s, and we thought it would be a slam dunk. I had the pleasure of serving as chair of the Springfield Women's Political Caucus at that time, and it was made up of both Democrat and Republican women, primarily women who were employed in state government. And we did believe it would be a slam dunk. Well, at that time, there were protests about the Vietnam War. Women's liberation aspects were emerging. And while we had Betty Friedan speaking on behalf of the feminine mystique in Peoria, we had Phyllis Schlafly in Alton, who formed the Eagle Forum. And I would suggest that Phyllis Schlafly established a war between moms who stayed at home and worked and moms that had to go to work. And those wars still burn a little bit more. But the other issue of abortion was thrown in there. As a Catholic woman, the church came out, and Phyllis Schlafly was one of their major proponents against, opponents against the Equal Rights Amendment, because, as she said, it would increase the incidence of abortion. The other issue was public daycare, that mothers would be forced to send their children to state-run daycare centers. And, of course, the whole idea about same-sex marriage and bathrooms and those kinds of issues were all thrown in there. It was a pretty vicious and bloody fight.
Can you talk a little bit about the coalition that you put together locally that that added some fuel to the ERA movement in Illinois? I think a lot of folks might remember the rally that was held in September in Uptown Normal. You had speakers like the sponsor in the House, Lou Lang, Dan Brady. Can you talk about this coalition locally?
Yes, this never would have happened without Sally, the one-woman coalition builder. because we started it just like the two of us or three of us, and we started a little petition drive, and we thought about, well, maybe we should have a rally of some kind, and yet it was not going to take off without the coalition building across all these groups. It never would have taken off. And I can tell you, we, as part of our effort across the state, Sally and I would drive to different cities and talk to people who were interested in the ERA there, getting them prepped to go see their legislators. But it was our local coalition coming together that really created it's a town on fire, you know, now. You know, there is a lot of activism, a lot of people interested in politics. We have just a lot of energy here in this town. This town was really a catalyst, and it's because of this great coalition that we built.
One of the principles for the coalition building was that it had to be bipartisan or nonpartisan. And right away, the League of Women Voters signed on, and they have a very large group, and they are nonpartisan. And that added a great deal of credibility, because we also had what I would call the The groups that emerged after the president was elected, and the Women's March to Washington, Indivisible 13, Indivisible 18. So in the middle, we had, right at the top, we had the League who came on board, but also the American Association for University Women. They've been around for decades and maybe hundreds of years. Voices of Reason is a group that, while it's progressive, it is fairly nonpartisan. They're more issue-oriented than party-oriented.
You both are no strangers to the political process, but I can tell just from talking to you for a few minutes here that this experience was a little different. You were very prominent in this, and Sally, you've been on GLT a couple of times talking about the ERA. So how did this experience, fighting for the ERA, shape your view of public policy, politics, government moving forward?
Advocacy matters. I was pretty complacent until Trump was inaugurated, and feel bad about that. Advocacy matters. Dan will tell you, we spoke up as a county, as his constituents, and it helped shape the way he voted.
I think the Equal Rights Amendment was sort of in cold storage before McLean County got involved. I hope I'm not over-exaggerating, because as soon as we announced we were having our kickoff rally, not only did we get some radio attention, but also newspaper attention in the northern part of the state. And all of a sudden, the sponsor of the bill took our call, and all of a sudden, a whole lot of other things happened. So I have to commend the people of McLean County who saw that something could happen and then worked very hard to make it happen.
That's Sally Pancrazio and Kay Moss, two local organizers who fought, now successfully, for ratification of the Equal Rights Amendment in Illinois. I'm Ryan Denham.
The approval by Illinois sets up the possibility that one of the 13 remaining states that have not ratified the ERA can now claim to have cast the decisive vote. Most southern states have not ratified the amendment, nor have Utah and Arizona.